Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 21st, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 39, the second paragraph. Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm, and we're reading 13 sentences today. So we're going to end at the bottom of the page, three lines up, in spite of his character and standing. Today's readers are Anne SCH, will read the text, Cara L, A Vision for You, and Chanel T is our backup. Jody E is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, May 20th, 10 a.m. Eastern is 23,478, and for Thursday, May 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern is 23,480. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Claudia C. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food. Their lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me read, and I pass.
Thank you, Claudia C. in California. Next, we're going to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, and we will now hand this over to Lisa C. in New Jersey. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me serve. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. All right, today we are going to resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. Turn to page 39, the second paragraph, starting with Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. We're going to read 13 sentences this morning, which takes us down to almost the bottom of the page, third line up, in spite of his character and standing. And I will now ask Anne SCH to start reading and then share with us. Thank you, Anne. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Anne SCH, and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater living in British Columbia, Canada. Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. His income is good. He has a fine home, He is happily married and the father of promising children of college age. He has so attractive a personality that he makes friends with everyone. If ever there was a successful businessman, it is Fred. To all appearance, he is a stable, well-balanced individual, yet he is an alcoholic. We first saw Fred about a year ago in a hospital where he had gone to recover from a bad case of jitters. It was his first experience of this kind, and he was much ashamed of it. Far from admitting he was an alcoholic, he told himself he came to the hospital to rest his nerves. The doctor intimated strongly that he might be worse than he realized. For a few days, he was depressed about his condition. He made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. So this is paragraph is introducing Fred, who by all appearances is not of the type that in the doctor's opinion, that externally he looks like he doesn't have a problem with alcohol. Like he's not living under a bridge or on the street. He's well established with a professional person with a family. And by all appearances, and that emphasis on appearance, he's okay. And that, my gosh, he lands in the hospital and he tells himself, and this is from the chapter More About Alcoholism, which for me is more lies that I've told myself and how I've pretended that my problems around food are will go away eventually. So how this resonates with me is that he's in hospital for the case of the jitters. And that further down it talks about he told himself he came to the hospital to rest his nerves. So when I look at my compulsion and my twist of the mind, the allergy of the body, and my compulsive behavior around food. A lot of it is, well, all of it actually, is around my nervous system and trying to comfort myself, comfort my jitters. So, and then this paragraph is rich in that he made up his mind. He was depressed about his condition. He was depressed about what the words the doctors had spoken over his life to say that this is what you're, who you are. And that when a doctor told me, never spoken, you're obese and you need to lose over 100 pounds. It was never spoken. But the shame that I felt because I knew. So there's a depression that goes with that. And no matter how much I tried to make up my mind, it was only when I realized that I needed a power greater than myself, and that was in these steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Anne SCH, for getting us started. All right, so if you came in midway, let me first of all tell you what we're talking about this morning. We are talking about Fred. His story starts on page 39, second paragraph. Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. We read 13 sentences. If you take your eyes to the bottom of the page, three lines up, we ended with, in spite of his character and standing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, so that counts both for both vision meetings, in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you this morning is your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from this morning. Who would like to share today?
Sarah L. In California.
Missouri.
I heard Cara L. and somebody in Missouri.
Carrie K. in Missouri.
Thank you, Carrie K.
Sandy S. from Florida.
Was that an F or an S for Susan?
S for Susan.
Great, thank you. That's the first thing came to my mind being my name. All right. Come on, party people. Who else would like to share this morning?
Janice K.
And Janice, where are you located?
Oregon.
That's what I thought, but thank you.
Carrie W. from California.
Hello, Carrie. Thank you. All right. Well, let's not waste time. We'll keep moving on and come back for a second round. I have Cara L., Carrie K., Sandy S., Janice K., and Carrie W. So if everybody other than Cara could mute their line, Cara, over to you. Please share with us.
Good morning, this is Kara. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Fred, I love Fred. Fred is one of my favorite examples because it reminds me of, you know, I was a person, I love to have my stuff together, right? So if I felt like I had everything together, then of course this weight thing would be easy. And in my younger years, I could. I mean, in my early 20s and whatnot, I could say, okay, I'm not eating, and I wouldn't eat, right? And I would lose weight, and all would be good. Until the day that I realized I just couldn't diet anymore, because I would make a firm resolution in the morning. I would say, okay, I would eat my diet breakfast, and then I would compulsively eat the whole entire day. And I would go to bed demoralized and feeling bad. And then I would make a firm resolution before I went to bed, wake up with that resolution, and then it would start over and over again. And I love this line here. Like, you know, he said, made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do it in spite of his character and standing. I had been successful in other areas of my life. If I just put my mind to it, I spent the hours, and I did it. I had been successful
And, you know, yes, I was a compulsive eater forever, but I was successful in taking off weight, so I thought it would be fine. It never occurred to me that I would not be able to do it until I couldn't do it. And that was pretty terrifying. And then, you know, the years of trying and not trying and doing and not doing and giving up and then, you know, and all that back and forth until I came to the doors of the NOA meeting, right? Until I found the pile greater than me that could do it. That when I released everything and I worked these steps and I released everything to a power greater than myself and I said, help. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, and today I know the less I know and the less that I'm thinking in charge, the easier my life is. The food neutrality is there because I'm working with a power that's much greater than me, right? My ideas, everything that I think is very small. And when I stick to that, I live in this very small world. And when I release myself to a power greater than myself, when I just say, I don't know what I'm doing, please help me, my world becomes huge and unlimited with, because I don't have that power on my own. And how do I get there? I have to work these steps.
That's
every
time.
Single day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Cara L. in California. Next, we have Carrie K. in Missouri. Good morning, Carrie.
Thank you for your service. This is Terry K. in Missouri.
Oh, sorry.
And, oh, no, that's okay. This hit me hard this morning as I was listening to the earlier meeting. You know, we're looking at Fred like, oh, on all appearances, things seem like they're going well. And that's such a modern day phenomenon. You know, we make conclusions that someone is doing well, what we see on the outside. And I'm in this nutrition program that I'm really taking for purposes of my job. One of the thesis, of course, is that food is needed to for our cells are needed for our tissues are needed for our organs. And so I was having a visual. I was like, so if I take all these healthy foods and I rub them on my skin, that is not going to do anything for my body. Like, I need to ingest these foods. And so, like, keeping something on the outside doesn't heal my insides. And so, like, things, jobs, money, title, esteem, or not esteem, but, you know, social standing, that doesn't repair, heal my insides. Because today with recovery, you know, like, I can look at my kids, or perfect example, and say, you know, my kids are doing well. And I won't say because they have the job and the money and the social standing, all that. Because they have resilience and they have self-awareness and they have willingness to get help. And so for me today, you know, if I'm going to compare myself to Fred and try to identify in, you know, that's how I was, you know, like, I thought everything was fine because I had all these things on the outside, but why was I so diseased on the inside? Because I was trying to heal my insides with the wrong things. And, you know, I've heard said that God brought me to OA and OA brought me to God, and that could not be more true for me today. You know, and that's, I'm grateful I only get a daily reprieve, because if it was one and done, my relationship with God would be one and done. And so because it's only a daily reprieve, I have to keep filling the well with God every day. And only my higher power, who I do call God, has the ability to be that salve to my spirit, to my soul. Not the things. And I have to be careful because I have a new job and it's in sales and quotas and numbers and standing. And boy, oh boy, I had beginner's luck. I like to call it my first quarter. And I got to be careful because ego, boy, it's right there waiting to knock the door in.
That's time.
And thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Terry K. in Missouri. Next, we have Sandy S. in Florida.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Sandy S.
in Florida. I mean, that's a miracle. I was in Asheville, North Carolina. But the only way I identify with Fred is that I lie to myself, and I still lie to myself. The other way I identify with Fred, this is just from what people said, because when you first read it, I didn't identify with Fred at all. But the person sharing also said it's like the nervous system, the jitters. So that I identify with. I feel really fortunate. I never thought it was the food. And from the moment I became a compulsive overeater, and it actually was one moment that it happened, I knew. Not only did I have no control, I didn't want to stop. And in OA, I didn't want to stop. But it was so great being in OA because I wasn't alone. And, I shared I had a spiritual experience, and I've had the most miraculous abstinence you can imagine that I absolutely do not take for granted. I want to say everybody is an individual. I am not neutral with food. I never will be neutral. I don't want to be neutral. I don't have any alcoholic foods, but every food, every single thing I eat, I never want to stop eating because I do get relief of my nerves from eating. I don't know why, but I don't care. So the big thing for me is I have all the externals I've ever wanted, but I've always known that externals will not change my brain. So I'm in touch with God all the time because I want to be very careful and not make this an outside issue. I have another massive problem, which was the reason I was compulsively eating. And, it's a neurological problem, a physiological problem. And every day I ask God to help me have real inner peace. I absolutely have peace with the food for a long time. But it's very erratic, the inner peace. So it's so good to hear the meeting because I can apply it to God. Only God can give me the peace that I want. I definitely have a loving connection in my life. I'm eternally grateful for that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy S. in Florida. Next, we have Janice K. in Oregon. Morning, Janice.
Hi, this is Janice K. What strikes me in this paragraph, what really hit me first, was the term, a bad case of jitters and rest his nerves. This is 1930s speak that they're doing here. And I'm a child of the 50s. And my mother had bad nerves. And if you were a child of the 50s, this means, I think that in modern terms, it means a tendency to depression and possibly chronic anxiety. Bad nerves are a scary thing, let me tell you. Then the next phrase was he was going to rest his nerves. Well, when you rest your nerves, someone else takes care of you. Because otherwise your poor little overstressed nerves can't function. And then that kind of took me to a phrase that I've heard in the rooms. And the phrase was, the dark void descended. I have no idea where that came from or who said it or what they were referring to. But golly, it's true. I know about living in the dark void. I used to live there. The dark void is a place of bad nerves, jitters, depression, and anxiety. The counterweight for the disease of self that sometimes manifests itself as chronic eating is, I think sometimes, that the cure is as extreme as the problem. But I figure that's okay, because the cure for me is an ongoing, close working relationship with a higher power. It's silly. Well, it's silly outside these rooms. In these rooms, it makes perfect sense. I start my day saying, oh God, please help me stay on my food plan today. I walk into the kitchen for breakfast and I say, okay, God, keep me on the plan. And I go through the day this way, day after day after day, because I can't do this. I have to have my higher power involved in my life to that extent. And I have to be willing. Someone commented once that they had asked God, are you willing to meet me in the kitchen every day, three times a day? And God's answer was,
that time.
Are you? Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice. Next, we have Kerry W. in California. Good morning, Kerry.
Good morning, Kerry W. from California. Thank you, Susan, for your service and everyone else that's running this meeting this morning. And it's good to be here. Yeah, Fred's a good reminder. Fred is a good reminder that self-knowledge is not going to fix this disease. Self-knowledge cannot fix the mental obsession and the physical allergy. And I always thought it would. You know, I was brought up that you work hard enough, you can make anything happen. You can do anything. And so I worked really hard at this. You know, I went to health institutes. I learned all about nutrition and what your body does with the different foods and food combining. And I did detoxes and all kinds of different education on nutrition. But you know what? Nothing fixed the mental obsession and the physical allergy until I came in to these rooms, and then it was like a miracle. It's like, okay, you do what everybody tells you to do, and you work this program, and slowly by slowly, I get abstinent, you know, and it's a miracle, you know, because all the other education didn't work. So I'm really grateful that I was willing to do things that I didn't want to do and get uncomfortable and do what you guys told me to do, because that has created some food neutrality and some abstinence for me, which has changed my life. So I'm really grateful for Fred. You know, it's a good lesson. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kerry W. in California. All right, so before we take the next lineup of names, let me again remind you where we are. Age 39, Fred is a partner in a well-known accounting firm. We read 13 sentences down to in spite of his character and standing, which is three lines up from the bottom of the page. So as a reminder, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if this is your third day, please press star one to unmute and let me know your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling
from. Chicago.
Thank you, BJ.
Joy MB from California.
Thank you, Joy.
Rebecca Rachel. M, California.
I heard Rachel and then somebody M from California. So Rachel, if you could finish first and then we'll go to the M in California.
Rachel G. Jody. From New York.
In New York. And who was the something M from California?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, thank you so much. All right. Who else would like to join?
Paul R. California.
Paul R. from California. And who had an H? Someone came in with Paul. I heard a letter.
Did
H.
you get Jody E. from California?
I didn't, Jody, so thank you so much. Nobody with the last initial H? Maybe I made that up. All right, this might take us to the end, so let's just see. We have Joy M. B., Rachel G., Rebecca M., Paul R., and Jody E. So if everybody, BJ. BJ's first. If everyone other than BJ could mute their line, I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning, Susan. This is BJ, a compulsive overeater seeking a psychic change. Thank you for your service And today, I looked in my For Today book, and it marked the anniversary of the person who suggested that I come to Overeaters Anonymous. And so there's some sadness there, but some gratitude. And this, what we're talking about today with Fred, yeah, I think sometimes I have it all together. I've got, you know, a nice place to live and friends and all of that. But yeah, I certainly get anxious, and I've been asking myself, okay, I've been in the program since 2009, but, you know, I just have 9 months. And I said, you know, it's my nerves. And so I really needed to hear all of the shares and to be reminded that it doesn't matter, you know, if you've got the job or whatever, the outer. What matters is, how is my relationship to a God of my understanding? Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, BJ in Chicago. Next, we have Joy MB in California. Thank you, Joy.
Good morning, Vision family, and I thank you so much for taking this meeting. I'm grateful to all of you for being here and sharing, because that's what is healing me. I am grateful for this program. It has changed my life. And I love Fred. Fred is me. Absolutely. Here I am, 2 doctorates, a professor at a university. And I'm looking down and I'm wondering, why is my right leg splitting from the knee to the ankle? Can't be me. Why? What can't be putting? What do you mean? Is it putting something in my mouth? No. Can't be. I mean, I can stop. If that's it, I can stop doing it. And all of my life, I remember being 3 and 4 and 5 and having my mother say, I'm not going to pick you up because you're fat. I'll pick your brother up, but not you. And so I am so grateful to finally get a handle on why I am who I am. It's what I put in my mouth, what I choose to use to comfort myself. And that is a big notion to decide that puff, puff. I remember one woman saying to me, well, you know, you might as well take ice cream and put it on your sore knee. That's how effective food is for soothing your nerves. And yet I've used it all of my life. And I come to this point where only visions. At first, when I came to visions, I only listened to you fellows. And I listened and I listened and I listened and I listened and I listened. Intellect has nothing to do with this. Degrees, accomplishments, I got them all. But did that mean that I didn't weigh 360? It did not. I'm so grateful for visions and to all of you, everyone who puts on this meeting, because without it, I'd be very dead. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joy MB in California. Next, we have Rachel G in New York. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Rachel G in New York. This is really a great reading. Thank you for everyone's shares as well and your service, Susan. I am really relating. I think I've been in program for a handful of years, and for the past like 4 or 5 years have just been relapsing on and off. And a lot of it came with trauma and some just this fear that God was not giving me any attention, and a lot of like self-centeredness, but then also just the small things of like, should I do this and that, and me not clearing the street. And when life got big, I would acknowledge God but not spend time with God. And I'm seeing that, you know, it's like God, as we work the steps, like I'm on step 11 and 99 days into abstinence, and I see so many miracles, and even just the way of thinking has shifted to just see gratitudes in a different way than I used to. And I want to stay on that path, and my will doesn't, like, is like, I want to do what I want to do, and I don't, hi God, and like not acknowledge, like not spend time with God and build that relationship. And that's something I'm learning this time around, is like, I really need to put in the work. Otherwise, all of those successes that Fred has was exactly where I was, where it was like, all right, I have, you know, a few months ago, a job, a relationship, and then and social one, like miracles, but then without cleaning my side of the street and actually putting in the work, I let it all drop, like all of it, and even sink deeper into a rock bottom. It was like just an abyss, like I've heard, and it happens so quickly, and I can try to figure it out, but I just know without building my spiritual muscle, like I'm in my relationship with God, everything else will fall. So I just say that, like, as my life gets bigger now in program, and I just want to continue to do God's will. And like, that's the hardest thing. That's like why I'm here. So I'm just really, really grateful. And it's always like good to remember how dark it can be, with these situations where it's like, oh, I'm going to throw everything out the window.
That's time.
Thank you. So grateful to be here. And thank you so much for everyone's service.
Thank you, Rachel G. in New York. Next, we have Rebecca M. in California. Good morning, Rebecca.
Thank you, Susan, for your service. I'm Rebecca M., grateful, compulsive overeater, living in California. And yeah, I just want to claim my seat this morning. I had a member call me last week, and it was amazing just to get a call from somebody in the program who knew I'm still, you know, I want to stay new, but I am new. And she was like, I want to hear from you, you know. Speak up. And you know, this disease wants me to stay quiet and leave it to what I think the pros of the program, you know, but it's important, especially like waking up this morning feeling some self-pity, to take action. And what better action to be of service and to speak. And so yeah, I just want to say, like, when I first started the program, I had no that I would be able to let go of some of the things that I've let go of. I was fighting a lot, and you know, didn't want to do all the things. But you know, I've been able to do that, not on my own, but as a result of working the steps and coming to vision every morning and calling people and finding out what's working for you, or how are you doing this, or what is your, you know, meal program look like. And just through, you know, it's like the educational spiritual experience for me, and it's happening slowly, but I can totally identify with Fred. I was never overweight or necessarily underweight either, but I have the same problem. I have the problem of being restless, irritable, and discontent. And I struggled for years with bulimia, and would be making myself binging and then making myself sick. And then also, like, you know, on the external, all looked great. I was playing competitive sport, but like, you know, I can look back now and look at how my behavior with exercise was so toxic too. And I would crack ribs playing sport and think, oh, well, maybe this is a calcium deficiency, or, you know, and that's the insanity. I had no idea. I really didn't know at the time that it was because I was hurting myself, you know, and this disease was pushing me to that, you know. And I don't have to live that way anymore. I try and live in the day. If I say, oh, I'm never going to have this again, then that scares me. So I just say, oh, just today, I'm not going to have this. I'm going to stick to my meal plan. Please, God, help me stick to my meal plan. Oh, so thank you. Thank you so much, God, for helping me today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca M. in California. Next, we have Paul R. in California. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paul R., recovered compulsive orator from Los Angeles, California. So grateful for this line and for you all for stopping me. You know, I love this story, and you know, I see myself, the whole purpose of this, what we are doing, that I'm able to see myself as a real compulsive old eater. Because once I'm able to see that I am, I have this physical allergy and mental obsession that I really need to see the problem was like, that is the problem, that I have it and I cannot be cured of it. So, you know, I like, this is really outlined for that story for me, that, you know, like that emotional dysregulation and then Fred is using at this point alcohol. I use food all the time because I just was not regulated emotionally. Something happened to me, like anything happened to me in the outside. I didn't feel good in the inside, and I food was just my comfort. Food was my precious little things that it always lifts me up, and it always took up, like temporarily gave me that beautiful release, that it just worked really well, worked more than anything else. And live life like that way, it works really well. And then, different, like it talks about, like, what's the difference between the real alcoholic, normal drinker, and the hard drinker. The progression, you know, like that, actually, I started here, and then I ended up finding out myself there when I was like, wow, how did I get here? And I still trying to prove to my innermost self with all different diets, all different steroids, fat burners, and all different combinations, drugs, whatever it is, I got this. I don't need your help. And I tried that for 34 years, and it just didn't work. And I needed to find out that the only solution, there's only one solution, which is a spiritual program of action, service, recovery, and fellowship. There's no other solution. I have to rely on this.
That's time.
Until I don't rely on this, I will going to struggle. Thank you. I need to share on your path.
Thank you so much. And our last share this morning will be from Jody E. in California. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. At first, I didn't really relate to Fred because I have had such a nervous disposition that I could not become anything. I could not graduate from college. I could not have a career. I was failing at succeeding at life because of my nervous disposition and because of my dependence on food as a source of ease and comfort from that nervous disposition. I still have a somewhat nervous disposition, but it's radically changed. I have had a psychic change. I have come to rely on a power greater than myself as a result of working the 12 steps. So this is a life-changing program, as people have been saying. When I first got to OA, I was nearly suicidal because I was So I remember having panic attacks and heart palpitations and depression, feeling very self-centered, extremely self-centered, like we read about in the big book. My problem is primarily that I am selfish, which for me means I'm just thinking about myself and concerned about myself and worried about myself. What do people think of me? That was my primary thing. What do people think of me? I was the center of the universe. And that is not the truth. I am not the center of the universe. And people are not thinking about me all the time at all. So this program is helping me get out of self and to become a channel of God's love and peace. And if I can get out of myself enough, God can use me to be of service in all of my affairs. And that's such a huge transformation from the way I was before I got here. But it's a daily thing, and I have to ask God to take away my self-centeredness every single day and to ask him to use me to get me out of myself so that I can be of service. Otherwise, I'm simply too self-conscious.
That's time.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Jody. All right, we have probably 90 seconds left. Who would like to take it? First voice I hear. Clock is ticking. Anybody want to share their experience with Fred? Go ahead. Thank you. Doreen?
Yes, yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your service and everyone who has shared. I just need to claim my seat. And grateful and thankful to my higher power that I have 60 days. That's all I needed to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. We will stop there. Thank you to Team Thursday. Our reader was Anne SCH. Cara L is going to read a vision for you for us. Chanel T is our backup. Please stay on with Jody E and Leslie M, especially if you need a sponsor or are an available sponsor. All right, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Suzanne. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in a fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.